crib going up on the everyday. Mommy moved out, we had nobody clocking us. We never smoked, we was looking for liquor. Shout out to Bammy, the one that was copping it. I had a run, it was time to go run it up. I ain't never coming, but watch how I'm coming up. I did the win of the summer, I'm fucking up. I had a plane and I lost it at school. I make a move, if I lose, I suck it up. I ain't the one to be stuck in the blues. This what I choose, my moves, I tuck it up.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lady Lou. You already know this is Poverty Talk Podcast, and tonight's EP is about the black family, the black man versus black woman, and the war that we have against each other, the spiritual war, that, you know, the external, the internal. Tonight, I have a special guest. He is a brother that I know, and he is also a brother of the Nation of Islam. I'm not too sure how deep into his history is as far as being a part of the Nation of Islam, but I do know that he is a brother of the nation, and I would really like to hear his perspective on this, just because I know that he's also a father, he has a wife and a family, and I know that, you know, coming from that kind of background, which I think we all know that is, it's morally strong, and they really take, you know, and consider, you know, into consideration, you know, their families and their structure, and the black man, you know, praising the black woman. And, you know, in other sense, you have people that in other religions or other ways of life that doesn't believe that that's, you know, particularly true. And then the black woman should be put to the back burner. And then you have the feminist movements. It's just a lot of things. Like, as far as my perspective on the whole situation, I feel like the black woman has given up on the black man. The black woman has given up on the black family. In a lot of ways, we have been programmed and mentally screwed to think that we didn't need them in the first place. We were, you know, I guess there was a genocide on women's mental, you know, an attack on our physical and our mental health, you know, in our spirits, to make us believe that they were not of an importance to us, that they are not who we need, and, you know, who we should have to have, you know, to build families with, to, you know, the black man is nothing without the black woman, vice versa. So I feel like a lot of things have taken place that's made that, you know, no longer the narrative. You know, you have black men as dating outside the race, black women as dating outside the race. And a lot of times that even causes, you know, not so nice dialogue, because everybody, including myself, I'm not really too fond of interracial relationships. That's just me. You know, that's me, and that's what I believe in. That's not necessarily saying that everybody else should believe in that, or what, you know, or whatever. You know, I'm not really with breaking the bloodline. You know, and that's just what it is. You know, once you break the bloodline, it allows other things to occur. And these are the things that have occurred. And now the black woman doesn't feel safe with the black man, and the black man doesn't feel safe with the black woman. And I think that we need to talk about these things so we can attack these things and we can fix these things. Because with this going on, and it has been going on for so long now, we are starting to see those effects happen with our children in our neighborhoods and our communities. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with us not being one, us not looking out for each other, us not trusting each other, you know, as the black woman and as the black man. So I just want to bring, you know, Brother Luke Mon on tonight, you know, just to hear his perspective on things. And we're going to talk about some other things. Of course, we're going to update you guys on the COVID-19. We're going to talk about that. I have a few other updates, you know, about some new business, black owned businesses that I've invested in this week, that I've supported, you know, that I think you guys should support as well. So let's get into it. So, also, I am featuring an artist, Jodabull, the intro. That song, it's his new single, Murderwood, and he is my brother. Yes, he is my brother, and he is basically the next up artist in Philadelphia, and I'm manifesting that. I'm saying, I think I've spoke about this before in one of the previous episodes that I've did, but just as far as my perspective on, you know, feminist movements and Black women being a part of feminist movements and why that even, you know, happens, because, you know, I just don't feel like Black men, you know, have any way of this world, you know, more than Black women does. I feel like Black women have access to, you know, money, grants, programs, jobs, you know, things like that, that the Black man, housing, free essential things, just a lot of programs that are set up for just mom and child. And what made me realize that this was getting a little bit more deeper than I've known it to be before. My daughters are 12 and 9, and so I haven't had a baby in a very long time, and I just gave birth to my son February 16th. And when it came to me filling out the paperwork at the hospital, I remember, you know, having a conversation with his dad, just explaining to him that, you know, the paperwork that I've seen at that moment was, like, you know, really different from the paperwork that I've experienced before in my past years ago, when I was about 20, 21, having my first child. And here I am, 33. And, you know, the folder seemed to get a little bit thicker. And it was, you know, paperwork, you know, just for mom and kid. It wasn't really paperwork for mom, dad, and kid. You know, even they do acknowledge the dad at the hospital, especially if he's already been coming to the doctor's appointments and things like that, and the doctors are familiar with him. He's been very active in the pregnancy. That's all cool. That's fine and dandy. You know, they still put this paperwork in your folder. And this, you know, he was there the entire time. You know, we went as a family. We were, you know, pregnant as a family. This is it. So to see this, you know, it didn't just disturb me for my family, it disturbed me for my brothers, you know, my blood brothers. It disturbed me for, you know, my brothers, my kings that's out there in the street when they're having babies with these women that, you know, have, that are, you know, have access to these free programs, that have access to paperwork that's telling you, hey, you don't have to acknowledge the father for whatever reason. You can have this birth certificate signed with just you. You don't have to put him on here. He can be excluded off. But this is the same system that turns around and say, hey, who is your father? Your children's father. If we're giving you money, then he must go to child support. He must go be arrested and be, you know, locked up if he doesn't pay child support, because I'm giving you $200-$300 a month and I'm giving you free food. So it's all, you know, it's all a game that's being played. And the number one piece to the game to be played against the Black man was the Black woman. And the Black woman has been being used to be played against her own man, her own protector, for many, 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 many years. And it continues to go on. And then you continuously have these groups, LGBT community groups, you know, feminist groups, all these groups that are against, you know, heterosexual relationships. It may not seem that way, but when you try to force things onto heterosexual people and, you know, these agendas, that's what it feels like. It feels like it's almost a crime. Being a heterosexual is almost a crime. Being a Black woman is almost a crime. Being a Black man that loves the Black woman, anytime the Black man speaks out about his love for the Black woman, somebody of another race feels some type of way. I don't understand it. Mind your business. If he wants to praise a Black woman, let him do that, because we don't get that much. And we don't really get that much in the hood. In the hood, we come from broken homes. We come from, you know, disoriented backgrounds. We come from backgrounds of trauma where children are experiencing trauma really, really young, where we're not seeing healthy relationships, where we're not being told how to treat or speak to one another. You know, this doesn't come. This comes every third household. you understand, in the hood. So it's different when it comes to the division that goes on with the black men and the black women. You may see there is a very large number of us that are building families, that are, you know, black men that are raising children without the mom, because we're going to get into that too, about deadbeat black women. It's not just deadbeat daddies, it's deadbeat mothers as well. And we don't talk about that as much. It's like we don't hold the woman as responsible as we should when it comes to the division and the breakdown of the black family. And, you know, this is something that needs to be talked about, should be talked about, will continue to be talked about, especially when it comes to, you know, me having the opportunity or just the privilege to speak about it. You know, just to have the privilege to talk to other sisters that I know, you know, my own family, friends, people that I come across when I, you know, meet with brothers and I speak to them about it. And I, you know, I tell them my outlook on things and how strongly I feel about this situation, because there is no raising the black child without both parents. And a lot of times the child goes without because the black woman or black man does not know how to communicate. The child goes without because they don't want to have that relationship outside of the relations. It's like after the relation's over, there is no friendship, there is no family, there is no type of foundation. We have to stop this. We have to break the cycle. If things doesn't work out, cool. But that doesn't mean that everything has to stop. You know, we have to continue to teach our children to have healthy relationships and healthy bonds, because we have allowed, you know, the machine to come in and break us in ways that we have to pay for. They don't pay for it. They pay for it, but they don't pay for it, if y'all catching what I'm saying. The only people that pays for it is us. The only children that suffer is our children. The only communities and neighborhoods that go in the uproar because of these problems, because of the division between the black man and the black woman, is ours. You know, it doesn't affect them. It affects us. And this is something that we need to bring ahead to things and get this done. We need to get this done. We need to have leaders that are really our leaders. We need to have brothers that are really willing to stand up. We need to have sisters that are really ready to get off their high horses and sit down and listen to these kings. They don't have an outlet. And then their only outlet was the black woman. And then the black woman shut them down, shut them out. So if you have to be at war with the world, have to be at war with the government, have to be at war with police officers trying to kill you, and then you come home and have to be at war with the black woman, or be at war with the black woman to even see your children, even though you don't have it all, but you're trying to work as hard as you can to even build a relationship with them, you know, internally, and you have the black woman turning her back on you because you don't have money in your pocket, it kind of fucks us all up. Because when you get that white woman that's willing to take her time, that's willing to overlook his flaws, that's willing to help him build his credit, that just helps him in a way that doesn't benefit us as black women. It doesn't benefit our children. It doesn't benefit our communities at all. And what it does is it makes a class of women believe that they are more superior than us, that they are more precious to our own men than we are. And I'm going to just say it that way. We made it comfortable for the enemy, for other race of women to think and to believe that black women are undervalued, that black men don't love black women the way they should or the way we think they do. You know, you have some that try to throw it in our faces and say, oh, they love us more because A, X, Y, and Z, when they don't have a fucking clue at all why the black man falls for them or why they feel comfortable with them. I do, because it falls into the mental illness. It falls into the trauma. It falls into the things that they've been through with their own people, with their own kind, with their own mothers, that pushes them their way. You either going to push him into the white woman's arm, or you going to push him into the prison system for a domestic violence situation, or you going to push him into a mental health facility, or you just going to push him into losing his mind to where so he's out here taking others, his own people out, because he can't live with himself. He cannot live with his own women. Let's talk about it. We just can't say that the black man is acting this way for no reason. He's just not acting, and this is not an act. This is actually things that they're going through. We cannot talk about the black family if we're not going to speak about the black man. It doesn't make sense. If we're going to talk about the black family, we cannot just talk about the black child and the mother, the children and the mother. How did the children get there? Not just with the mother. This ain't no motherfucking Mary, Jesus and Mary show. This ain't it. This is not a story out of the Bible. They told you that this woman conceived this child alone. This is real human beings, real children, you know, that's coming up in these traumatic situations, coming up in these broken homes, because we don't know how to get along and communicate with each other, because the enemy has taught us to discard of each other. And the more that we keep on with this cycle, we cannot keep asking for change and praying for change if we don't actually go in and change it. If we don't go in and reprogram the programming, if we don't relearn, unlearn, and relearn, this will continue. The machine will never be fixed if we keep trying to take the easy way out by just patching it up and adding a little bit of oil. We actually have to take the motherfucker apart and rebuild it. And that's just what it is when it comes to the black man and black woman coming back together. Stop pointing fingers at each other. Love on each other. Understand each other. Understand each other. Overstand each other. Or at least try. Try. Try for your children. Try for your mother. Try for your girlfriend. Try for just somebody that you care about, that wants to see you have a better relationship with your children, that wants to see you have a better relationship with your mother. Black women, we want to see you have good relationship with your sons. We want to see you have healthy relationships with your daughters. This is something that we should want as the people. We should be tired of being broken and being labeled and being discarded as a people. This is something that we go through on a day-to-day basis from the rest of the entire world. Why do we continue to do it to each other? When will we wake up and say, this is it? I'm tired of hurting my sister. I'm tired of hurting my brother. Because if you look left or right of you, we all hurting. Anything that you've been through, you're not the only motherfucker that's been through it. You're not. I don't care what the situation is. You're not the only sister that's been molested. You're not the only sister that's been, you know, raped. You're not the only sister that's been an incest. You're not the only brother that's been, you know, and I'm not taking away, nor am I lacking empathy or sympathy. I'm saying it what it is. We have to stop pointing fingers. We have to stop thinking that we are only the ones going through this shit. We have to understand that when we look around, that the rest of us are going through it as well. You went through it when you were a little girl. Now your 7-year-old cousin is going through it with the same uncle, with the same grandfather, with the same auntie. You're being, you know, your younger siblings are being neglected by the same mother. Your brothers are growing up without the same deadbeat father that you didn't grow up with. We cannot just sit back and act like that this shit is going to change if we don't change it. We cannot say, we kind of knew, but we didn't know. When you really knew that the situation was going on in the household, you really knew that uncle or that dad or that grandfather was touching that baby. You understand what I'm saying? We have to stop holding on to generational curses and being quiet about shit. Tupac said, you wonder why they call you bitch. Do you know why he said that? Because of the way we were portraying ourselves in the music and the media. You understand? So when a man disrespects you, don't be surprised, baby girl, because you already been disrespecting yourself. So when a black man is not responding to you in the way that you need him to respond to you, and do not be surprised, because you have not been there for him the way he needed you to be there for him. And yes, the black man needs to get his shit together. No more than a black woman needs to get hers together. We have to stop pointing fingers and just look at it for what it is. We're all fucking screwed if we don't get our mentals together, because we're all battling with some type of issue that's been carrying with us from childhood, that will always carry with us, no matter how healthy we are living our lives, no matter how good of the greenery we eat, how much of the greenery we smoke to try to escape anything. Things are going to stick with us, but it's about the healing. It's about the forgiving. It's about the understanding. And it's about the, you know, the urge and the wanting and, you know, to move forward as a people. And if we're all on that same vibration, I believe that it can happen. You have to believe it can happen. We have to believe that as a whole. And we have to stop letting sucker shit happen. We have to stop promoting the fact that we disrespect each other. We have to stop pulling out our cell phones every time we see our people going through shit, instead of, in, you know, stepping in and making, you know, dissolving the shit. We have to stop provoking the shit. We have to stop, you know, just promoting the demise of our own people. A lot of them rappers rap about you bitches and you hoes and this and that. And then they turn around, I don't love this bitch, I don't love this hoe. But these same rappers are married. They are married. They have girlfriends. They have wives. They have children. They live good lives. They tell you to go sell drugs, and they ain't never sold a fucking drug in their life. They tell you to go sell drugs, but they send their children to NAACP type of all black colleges. First of all, let me take that back. They send their children to all black colleges. Okay. All black colleges. Their children are not growing up in poverty. Their children are not growing up in high crime neighborhoods. This is just the rap music. They have already removed their children out of these situations. They have removed their mothers out of these situations. Their homes are not in the hood. They visit with hundreds of security. Some, not all, just some. But you have those that pretend that is a part of the problem, that is a part of the agenda to why the division is happening. But this is all because we allowed it to happen. We allowed it to go on. So when you have the black man and the black woman fighting against each other, and you have children watching this, on and on and on, you're watching the black boy learn to disrespect the black woman, you know, to push the girl down and not say sorry, to not help her out, to not hold the door for the young girl in the school. You know, like all the things that we grew up to learn to be cool, that we learned that was generous, that we learned to how to show, you know, affection, you know, towards somebody that you liked or black women that you respected. It falls short now. It falls very short nowadays. And it's something that we need to take a look at Hey y'all, it's your girl Lulu, and I'm back. I'm still waiting for our guest to chime in with us. So I just want to play a YouTube clip of Shahrazad Ali, somebody that I admire, somebody that I follow, you know, a black woman, a scholar, a very strong, strong black woman, may I say. And she has a lot of the same, you know, morals and, you know, respect for black men as I do. And she has, the, you know, kind of the same fight. She speaks about the same things that people that follow me know that I speak about a lot. as far as the, you know, the war that the black man has to go through in America, and also the war that the black man has to go through with his own women, his own children. And, you know, when I talk about that, I don't talk about it to take away from the black woman. I just want to be able to have a conversation with my sister so we can sit down and dialogue and really get into the deep-rooted issues on why as though we are the way we are towards our men, and why they are responding to us the way they are in society, and, you know, in prison and everything else that falls into the line of these things. So I just want to play a short clip of this this interview, so you can get more of a perspective on where I'm going with this, you know, this EP, and how, you know, I think, you know, about this whole entire situation. So let's get into that until we get our guest, you know, back on the line.
Indeed, Ms. Ali is best known as the author of The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman, a very controversial and, if I may say so, a very critical view of life of today's black woman. She joins us today in our studio, and of course, we'd like to welcome you today to Vibrations.
Well, thank you, Raven, for inviting me.
Basically, it's your premise that the black woman is out of sync with the natural order of things. Can you explain that?
Well, it's a very sensitive subject. Uh-huh. And certainly, I believe that I have tried to approach it from a very sensitive angle. What I have actually said is that the black woman's disrespect and rebellion against the leadership and the authority of the black man is a direct cause of the breakdown in the black family structure. It's not an attack on us as black women. It's just saying that in the breakdown of any relationship, both parties have to take responsibility. And as black women, we have been protected and insulated from any kind of examination about what our share of the responsibility is in the breakdown of the black family. My book represents the first platform, certainly, that the black man has ever had to air his grievances about the black woman, because
as you can see, I got, you know, things went silent, because when I don't have the words to explain how I feel about this entire situation, I always relay back to my studies, you know, to the scholars, to the professionals, to the people that, you know, I admire that's in this fight. And when, you know, when she, as she said, and as I said, it's not an attack on us as black women. It's not to attack the black woman at all. It's just to bring you to the realization that the machine, the enemy, has, you know, changed your mind or programmed you, you know, to the point that you have disposed of your brother, have disposed of your father, have disposed of your son. And whether we want to realize it or not, or we want to take responsibility as black women, we have to acknowledge that, and we have to take responsibility for it, because we have allowed things to happen. We, you know, the general population of them being in prison, we have allowed the homosexuality relationships. We have allowed, and when I say allowed, is a lot of these things have taken place because the black woman has even neglected the black man, hurt the black man, or have ignored the black man, or have disregarded the black man. And we talk a lot about, you know, domestic violence and it being, you know, the man on the woman, you know, especially in the black communities. We don't talk a lot about the mental health issues that take place within those domestic violence situations. We don't talk about, you know, why black men are not in the homes. Black men are not in the homes because black women dispose of the black man when they were given free food stamps, you know, free food, free money, free housing. All these things that the machine equipped them with is what made them believe so that they did not need the black man. So now that you have all these years of this continuous cycle going on, you know, it falls into what is falling into now. You know, you have the black man degrading a black woman. A black woman is now, you know, paying for body parts, paying for enhancements on her body, on her face, so she can look a different way to please the black man that's telling her he want her to look a certain way, that doesn't even represent, you know, the woman that gave birth to him. You know, a lot of times men are out here requesting for, you know, women to look a certain way, to act a certain way based off, because they don't want to deal with what they've been dealing with. And a lot of the brothers, a lot of our kings have been dealing with trauma and still deal with trauma, you know, mental health, physical health. You know, they are dealing with these things declining in their lives. And it has a lot to do with the Black woman not being there, not standing up. Now, in our, you know, our past times, we have Sisters of the Move movement in Philadelphia. We have Sisters and the Black Panthers and other small Black organizations that were, you know, running and being organized, the Nation of Islam Sisters that, you know, stand up for the Black man, Black men that understand, you know, the value of the Black woman. We have this this exists. It does exist, but it's too big of a population that does not exist. It's too big of a population that allows us to go on in our small communities, in our neighborhoods, you know, in our homes, in our families. And this is why our children are broken. This is why our children are being traumatized. This is why our children are being neglected. And we're looking at a generation, you know, curse go on and on and on. And we're looking at generation after generation that comes after us. And we're asking the why. And the why is because we haven't fixed the gap. We haven't broken the gap. We have not brought the Black man and the Black woman back together. We have not, you know, made the Black woman value the Black man. We have not, you know, pushed the Black man to value the Black woman. So you have brothers dating outside of their race. You have sisters dating outside of their race, trying to escape what they don't want to deal with, but it's not going away. And I just want to say that to, you know, those, I'm not saying that's all interracial relationships, but I'm saying the majority of it is because some type of trauma or something that he doesn't or she doesn't want to identify with, which is self, you know. And we've watched one of our legends, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, may his soul rest in peace, rest in power. And, you know, we've watched things like this happen and what trauma can cause a person to do and what a person can, you know, change into and how they want to change their physical characteristics because of trauma, because of what they went through. We have homosexual relationships going on because people have been molested and raped in our communities. So it's a lot that takes place in our communities, in our homes that have been going on for generation, you know, after generation after generation. And I think that we need to have these conversations so we can get down to the nitty gritty on why and how this can be fixed. And when you get down to that, the only thing, you know, the conclusion of that is, and the solution is to bring in the Black man and the Black woman back together. And that's just my perspective. That's just my point of view, because I'm a firm believer that we are not anything without each other. So the more that we keep dividing, the more that we keep thinning the bloodline, is, you know, we're going to keep catching hell. We're going to keep seeing the, you know, the effects of that. And it's not really a cool thing to watch. It's not really, you know, something that you want to see happen with your people. You know, I'm a strong believer that, you know, my people have gotten through a lot, you know, and just not even my belief. That's just history. Just look at history and look how much we've been through. Look how much, you know, dirt been thrown on us. How many obstacles, how many brick walls been built in front of us. And we've managed to knock those things down. We've managed to get through those things in life. But when you look at the TV and you hear the music, and then you just look at what the Black woman supposed to look like in today's society today, it just doesn't line up with the natural things that should be going on, which is a healthy relationship between the Black woman and the Black man. And, you know, not. I think I've spoke about this before in one of the previous episodes that I've did, but just as far as my perspective on, you know, feminist movements and Black women being a part of feminist movements and why that even, you know, happens, because, you know, I just don't feel like Black men, you know, have any way of this world, you know, more than Black women does. I feel like Black women have access to, you know, money, grants, programs, jobs, you know, things like that, that the Black man housing, free, you know, free accessible, you know, free essential things, just a lot of programs that are set up for just mom and child. And what made me realize that this was getting a little bit more deeper than I've known it to be before. My daughters are 12 and 9, and so I haven't had a baby in a very long time, and I just gave birth to my son February 16th. And when it came to me filling out the paperwork at the hospital, I remember, you know, having a conversation with his dad, just explaining to him that, you know, the paperwork that I've seen at that moment was, like, you know, really different from the paperwork that I've experienced before my past years ago when I was about 20, 21, having my first child. And here I am 33, and, you know, the folder seemed to get a little bit thicker, and it was, you know, paperwork, you know, just for mom and kid. It wasn't really paperwork for mom, dad, and kid. You know, even they do acknowledge the dad at the hospital, especially if he's already been coming to the doctor's appointments and things like that, and the doctors are familiar with him. He's been very active in the pregnancy. That's all cool. That's fine and dandy. You know, they still put this paperwork in your folder, and this, you know, he was there the entire time. You know, we went as a family. We were, you know, pregnant as a family. This is it. So to see this, you know, it didn't just disturb me for my family. It disturbed me for my brothers, you know, my blood brothers. It disturbed me for, you know, my brothers, my kings that's out there in the street when they're having babies with these women that, you know, have, that are, you know, have access to these free programs, that have access to paperwork that's telling you, hey, you don't have to acknowledge the father for whatever reason. You can have this birth certificate signed with just you. You don't have to put him on here. He can be excluded off. But this is the same system that turns around and say, hey, who is your father? Your children's father. If we're giving you money, then he must go to child support. He must go be arrested and be, you know, locked up if he doesn't pay child support, because I'm giving you $200-$300 a month and I'm giving you free food. So it's all, you know, it's all a game that's been played, and the number one piece to the game to be played against the Black man was the Black woman, and the Black woman has been being used to be played against her own man, her own protector, for many, 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 many years, and it continues to go on, and then you continuously have these groups, LGBT community groups, you know, feminist groups, all these groups that are against, you know, heterosexual relationships. It may not seem that way, but when you try to force things onto heterosexual people and, you know, these agendas, that's what it feels like. It feels like it's almost a crime. Being a heterosexual is almost a crime. Being a Black woman is almost a crime. Being a Black man that loves the Black woman, anytime the Black man speaks out about his love for the Black woman, somebody of another race feels some type of way. I don't understand it. Mind your business. If he wants to praise a Black woman, let him do that, because we don't get that much, and we don't really get that much in the hood. In the hood, we come from broken homes. We come from, you know, disoriented backgrounds. We come from backgrounds of trauma where children are experiencing trauma really, really young, where we're not seeing healthy relationships, where we're not being told how to treat or speak to one another. You know, this doesn't come. This comes every third household, you understand, in the hood. So it's different when it comes to the division that goes on with the Black men and the Black women. You may see there is a very large number of us that are building families, that are, you know, Black men that are raising children without the mom, because we're going to get into that too, about deadbeat Black women. It's not just deadbeat daddies, it's deadbeat mothers as well. And we don't talk about that as much. It's like we don't hold the woman as responsible as we should when it comes to the division and the breakdown of the Black family. And, you know, this is something that needs to be talked about, should be talked about, will continue to be talked about, especially when it comes to, you know, me having the opportunity or just the privilege to speak about it. You know, just to have the privilege to talk to other sisters that I know, you know, my own family, friends, people that I come across when I, you know, meet with brothers and I speak to them about it. And I, you know, I tell them my outlook on things and how strongly I feel about this situation, because there is no raising the black child without both parents. And a lot of times the child goes without because the black woman or black man does not know how to communicate. The child goes without because they don't want to have that relationship outside of the relations. It's like after the relation's over, there is no friendship, there is no family, there is no type of foundation. We have to stop this. We have to break the cycle. If things doesn't work out, cool. But that doesn't mean that everything has to stop. You know, we have to continue to teach our children to have healthy relationships and healthy bonds, because we have allowed, you know, the machine to come in and break us in ways that we have to pay for. They don't pay for it. They pay for it, but they don't pay for it. If y'all catching what I'm saying. The only people that pays for it is us. The only children that suffer is our children. The only communities and neighborhoods that go in the uproar because of these problems, because of the division between the black man and the black woman, is because it's ours. You know, it doesn't affect them. It affects us. And this is something that we need to bring ahead to things and get this done. We need to get this done. We need to have leaders that are really our leaders. We need to have brothers that are really willing to stand up. We have need to have sisters that are really ready to get off their high horses and sit down and listen to these kings. They don't have an outlet. And then their only outlet was the black woman. And then the black woman shut them down, shut them out. So if you have to be at war with the world, have to be at war with the government, have to be at war with police officers trying to kill you, and then you come home and have to be at war with the black woman, or be at war with the black woman to even see your children, even though you don't have it all, but you're trying to work as hard as you can to even build a relationship with them, you know, eternally, internally. And you have the black woman turning her back on you because you don't have money in your pocket. It kind of fucks us all up. Because when you get that white woman that's willing to take her time, that's willing to overlook his flaws, that's willing to help him build his credit, that just helps him in a way that doesn't benefit us as black women. It doesn't benefit our children. It doesn't benefit our communities at all. And what it does is it makes a class of women believe that they are more superior than us, that they are more precious to our own men than we are. And I'm going to just say it that way. We made it comfortable for the enemy, for other race of women, to think and to believe that black women are undervalued, that black men don't love black women the way they should or the way we think they do. You know, you have some that try to throw it in our faces and say, oh, they love us more because A, X, Y, and Z, when they don't have a fucking clue at all why the black man falls for them or why they feel comfortable with them. I do, because it falls into the mental illness. It falls into the trauma. It falls into the things that they've been through with their own people, with their own kind, with their own mothers, that pushes them their way. You either going to push him into the white woman's arm, or you going to push him into the prison system for a domestic violence situation, or you going to push him into a mental health facility, or you just going to push him into losing his mind to where, so he's out here taking others, his own people out, because he can't live with himself. He cannot live with his own women. Let's talk about it. We just can't say that the black man is acting this way for no reason. He's just not acting, and this is not an act. This is actually things that they're going through. We cannot talk about the black family if we're not going to speak about the black man. It doesn't make sense. If we're going to talk about the black family, we cannot just talk about the black child and the mother, the children and the mother. How did the children get there? Not just with the mother. This ain't no motherfucking Mary, Jesus and Mary show. This ain't it. This is not a story out of the Bible that told you that this woman conceived this child alone. This is real human beings, real children you know, that's coming up in these traumatic situations, coming up in these broken homes, because we don't know how to get along and communicate with each other because the enemy has taught us to discard of each other. And the more that we keep on with this cycle, we cannot keep asking for change and praying for change if we don't actually go in and change it. If we don't go in and reprogram the program, if we don't relearn, unlearn, and relearn, this will continue. The machine will never be fixed if we keep trying to take the easy way out by just patching it up and adding a little bit of oil. We actually have to take the motherfucker apart and rebuild it. And that's just what it is when it comes to the black man and the black woman coming back together. Stop pointing fingers at each other. Love on each other. Understand each other. Understand each other. Overstand each other. Or at least try. Try. Try for your children. Try for your mother. Try for your girlfriend. Try for just somebody that you care about, that wants to see you have a better relationship with your children, that wants to see you have a better relationship with your mother. Black women, we want to see you have good relationship with your sons. We want to see you have healthy relationships with your daughters. This is something that we should want as the people. We should be tired of being broken and being labeled and being discarded as a people. This is something that we go through on a day-to-day basis from the rest of the entire world. Why do we continue to do it to each other? When will we wake up and say, this is it? I'm tired of hurting my sister. I'm tired of hurting my brother. Because if you look left or right of you, we all hurting. Anything that you've been through, you're not the only motherfucker that's been through it. You're not. I don't care what the situation is. You're not the only sister that's been molested. You're not the only sister that's been, you know, raped. You're not the only sister that's been an incest. You're not the only brother that's been, you know, and I'm not taking away, nor am I being, nor am I lacking empathy or sympathy. I'm saying it what it is. We have to stop pointing fingers. We have to stop thinking that we are only the ones going through this shit. We have to understand that when we look around, that the rest of us are going through it as well. You went through it when you were a little girl. Now your 7-year-old cousin is going through it with the same uncle, with the same grandfather, with the same auntie. You're being, you know, your younger siblings are being neglected by the same mother. Your brothers are growing up without the same deadbeat father that you didn't grow up with. We cannot just sit back and act like that this shit is going to change if we don't change it. We cannot say, we kind of knew, but we didn't know. When you really knew that the situation was going on in the household, you really knew that uncle or that dad or that grandfather was touching that baby. You understand what I'm saying? We have to stop holding on to generational curses and being quiet about shit. Tupac said, you wonder why they call you bitch. Do you know why he said that? Because of the way we were portraying ourselves in the music and the media. You understand? So when a man disrespects you, don't be surprised, baby girl, because you already been disrespecting yourself. So when a black man is not responding to you in the way that you need him to respond to you, and do not be surprised, because you have not been there for him the way he needed you to be there for him. And yes, the black man needs to get his shit together. No more than a black woman needs to get hers together. We have to stop pointing fingers and just look at it for what it is. We're all fucking screwed if we don't get our mentals together, because we're all battling with some type of issue that's been carrying with us from childhood, that will always carry with us. No matter how healthy we are living our lives, no matter how good of the greenery we eat, how much of the greenery we smoke to try to escape anything, things are going to stick with us. But it's about the healing. It's about the forgiving. It's about the understanding. And it's about the, you know, the urge and the wanting and, you know, to move forward as a people. And if we're all on that same vibration, I believe that it can happen. You have to believe it can happen. We have to believe that as a whole. And we have to stop letting sucker shit happen. We have to stop promoting the fact that we disrespect each other. We have to stop pulling out our cell phones every time we see our people going through shit instead of, in, you know, stepping in and making, you know, dissolving the shit. We have to stop provoking the shit. We have to stop, you know, just promoting the demise of our own people. A lot of them rappers rap about you bitches and you hoes and this and that. And then they turn around. I don't love this bitch. I don't love this hoe. But these same rappers are married. They are married. They have girlfriends. They have wives. They have children. They live good lives. They tell you to go sell drugs. And they ain't never sold a fucking drug in their life. They tell you to go sell drugs. But they send their children to NAACP type of all black colleges. First of all, let me take that back. They send their children to all black colleges. Okay. All black colleges. Their children are not growing up in poverty. Their children are not growing up in high crime neighborhoods. This is just the rap music. They have already removed their children out of these situations. They have removed their mothers out of these situations. Their homes are not in the hood. They visit with hundreds of security. Some, not all, just some. But you have those that pretend that is a part of the problem, that is a part of the agenda to why the division is happening. But this is all because we allowed it to happen. We allowed it to go on. So when you have the black man and the black woman fighting against each other, and you have children watching this, on and on and on, you watching the black boy learn to disrespect the black woman, you know, to push the girl down and not say sorry, to not help her out, to not hold the door for the young girl in the school. You know, like all the things that we grew up to learn to be cool, that we learned that was generous, that we learned to how to show, you know, affection, you know, towards somebody that you liked or black women that you respected. It falls short now. It falls very short nowadays. And it's something that we need to take a look at Hey guys, this is your girl Lady Lou. So I'm back and I just wanted to close out EP4 just by saying, one, our guest couldn't make it, so hopefully he's able to make the next episode and we can talk more about the black family, the black woman versus the black man and the war and why that is taking place. Because I definitely want to talk about this some more. I feel like I still have a lot more that I want to share with you guys. I want to bring in some more scholars, bring in some more, you know, people that work on these kinds of things, that, you know, is in the fight with this thing that is working to reconstruct, you know, the black family, our communities, our neighborhoods, just the upbringing and the foundation of everything that's involving the black family. So I just wanted to come in and thank you guys for listening in tonight. You for always supporting me, for, you know, having an open dialogue and conversation about topics that may not always be so important to everybody, but they're definitely important to me. I'm sure they're important to the people in my community. And I'm sure they're important to the millions and millions of black people that's on this platform and understand exactly what I'm talking about when I bring up these touchy topics. And a lot of the times these topics are topics that we don't want to talk about in the black family. And we should, because these are the things that's keeping us at a minimum when it comes to self-love, respect, and, you know, looking out for each other overall, because, you know, we have lost that. We have lost that in the times to come. as I said, this is not all black people. This is some of us. This is, you know, what I see on a day-to-day basis growing up. This is what I see on a day-to-day basis as a grown-up, you know, living in these neighborhoods, living in these communities, dealing with poverty, dealing with hunger, dealing with, you know, ongoing violence. You know, it's a war. It's an internal war. It's an external war. It's definitely a spiritual war. So, with that being said, peace and blessings, my people. Stay positive. Stay safe. Stay educated. Stay aware. Stay diligent. It's your girl, Lady Lou. I'll see you on the next episode. Peace.